Lineouts. Racks.
Halls engage.
What an amazing try.
Tries and tackles. Dissected by South Africa's top rugby minds.
That is world class.
This is To The Last Drop, your weekly in-depth rugby podcast with Liam Delcombe and Brendan Nell.
I'm very surprised to see you standing because the French certainly weren't standing on Saturday night.
Yeah, that was almost as if they were trying their best to lose that game. Not to take anything away from England, because they did very well to stay in that contest, because France, given the number of opportunities they had, should have put that game to bed, possibly in the first half even. But they fluffed their lines and they were made to pay.
Yeah, and good on England. It's one of those things. I mean, we'd never really praise England when they, for obvious reasons, when they win. But yeah, they were certainly the team that you showed a lot of pluck, showed a lot of guts, characters. I think the word that you always use on Saturday night, they just never went away. And every time you thought France had won that game, England just came back at them. And that was, it was really stunning to see. And I really applaud them for that.
Yeah, and also you could see from their selections that they were prepared to be brave. A young fly-off moving Marcus Smith to fullback. The safe bet might have been to stick with Freddie Stewart, but made brave selections and paid off.
Yeah, and Finn Smith had an absolutely wonderful game. It's hard to see him being moved from 10. You know, I think they should stick with him, back him. Yeah, and Marcus Smith at 15. It sort of surprised me at times in the week, the way the English press went on, almost as if it was a downgrade for Marcus Smith to play 15. And certainly he's a good attacking player. So any player with his skill set plays pretty well from 15, so, and has a bit more space to attack from. And I thought that really showed in the game as well. My other takeaway from that game was, even though that a number of the French players didn't have very good games, including one specific player, the commentators found a way of telling us he's the best player in the world, I think, 7 times in the game, despite him not doing much.
It took you 4 minutes to get there, Brendan. Why so long?
No, well, I think, just being honest, that's what I'm going to say. I think he's a great...
Look at the other games again. Let's move on.
Well, the other games, Liam, we've lost the coach already. I see Warren Gatland's been fired, or is at the process of being fired as we're recording this. I don't think it's maybe made official, but everybody's reporting it already, so it's almost a matter of time. I don't think you can sort of... I think Gatland did a lot for Welsh rugby. I think the second stint he had, he came over, he took over a sinking ship, and no matter how much water he tried to throw out there, and probably made some mistakes along the way. I mean, I'm not going to excuse him from all the blame, but Welsh rugby certainly in a bit of the doldrums at the moment, and it's hard to see who the new coach, what he'll do differently in the short term. I think they need a total overhaul of structures, and they need somebody with a bit of a vision. I see Franco Smith's name has been put out there. I see Ronan O'Gara's name as well, and Simon Easterby. But whoever is going to need carte blanche to really overhaul it in his own vision.
Yeah, it's not just down to the coach. I think obviously for the last number of years, people have written and talked a lot about the structure of Welsh rugby and where how players come from grassroots level and make their way into senior rugby. So it will have to be a two-pronged approach, really. But, you know, Warren Gatland was almost an hiding to nothing in that second stint. But you also felt like it was almost, they became too reliant on him as well. I think, in a way, probably if you look at it now, 14 straight defeats, they probably should have pulled the trigger earlier.
Yeah. Well, it's hard to see him staying at this stage because, I mean, it serves nobody to hang on to do the same thing over and over again. I feel whoever takes over is good. You've got to give them a bit of leeway. The results may not be better, but at least if you can see they're moving towards something, it will probably be a lot more positive and get a bit of backing from the public as well. The other game of the weekend was Ireland, and I saw, who was it, Peter Mahoney, saying that it was the greatest thing of his career to be booed off the field at Murrayfield after they totally smashed Scotland. And yeah, I just feel that's the problem with Scotland. They're great, they're brave. They're always Scotland the brave for 50 minutes, and then they sort of fall apart. And in this game, Ireland hit them early, and they never really recovered. And when they got the yellow card to Duane Funamava as well, that just basically They were fighting a losing battle from then on. They played bravely, as Scotland always do, but I'm not sure they're going to ever be at the level they want to be unless they can win these big games.
Yeah, I mean, Scottish rugby does have quite a bit going for it. I mean, there's obviously the URC success that they've had. They've got solid structures. They've got a coach who's been in that seat for a while. But maybe they need to look elsewhere. I mean, you mentioned Franco Smith, his name being linked to Wales. It'd almost be a more natural fit for him if he was to take that job. It'll be interesting to see how they go with a different coach. I'm not suggesting that Greber Townsend is going anywhere, but, you know, they may want to consider making a change at that level. Maybe, you know, given the talent that they have at their disposal, you can't expect Scotland to do better.
Yeah, indeed, kind of too. Yeah, just, I mean, I think if you look at, I spoke to Pete Burns from Scotland, one of the journalists there, remember, before the Autumn Internationals last year. And he was suggesting then already, if they don't beat one of the big three, that Gregor's going to be under threat. So I just wonder where this will put him at the end of the Six Nations. It'll be quite interesting. Yeah, so I think we should go straight into our interview, because otherwise we're going to turn to URC rugby. We'll go straight into our interview because we've got a great guest this week. Somebody who challenged us as much as we challenged him.
Brave man.
We're talking, of course, of Pepsi Buthelezi of the Sharks, who joined us, and we're going to turn to that interview now. Have a listen. It was really a good interview. It's a big game at Loftus this weekend again. Another one of these massive derbies. And this week, the Bulls are hosting the Sharks. Huge a game, and upcountry at altitude, Sharks not swimming in familiar waters. Our guest today is Springbok Pepsi Buthelezi, one of the Sharks players. Welcome, Pepsi. Welcome to The Last Drop.
Thank you. Thank you, guys. Thanks for having me.
I asked Pepsi just before we started, yeah, his email says Hendrik on it. So are you Hendrik or are you Pepsi?
Yes, funny enough, Hendrik is actually my second name. So yes, it goes Hendrik.
How did that
you basically share that name with one of South Africa's, I suppose, most famous rugby players. Nobody calls him Hendrik, but he goes by Naas Botha. So you're in good company.
Is his name actually Hendrik?
He's Hendrik Ignasi.
Oh, jeez, I'm going to start using this name more then. Jeez, what an honor, man. Yo.
Yeah. You'll get a new fan base there, Pepsi. So how did it come about? How did you get Hendrik?
Jeez, to be honest with you, I mean, until this day, I always ask my mother, I'm like, where did you get Hendrik from? And even she doesn't know. I think she must have heard it somewhere, and she thought, because I've actually got three names, and she just decided to chuck in Hendrik there. I don't know. She thought it would sound cool. It would be fitting for me, I guess.
Tick all the boxes.
Yeah. She's got all the boxes covered there.
Pepsi, obviously, Saturday is a big game. It's, you guys won the last round there just around Christmas. A very tough game. You guys had a tough week as a squad, losing a number of players that week. But you managed to beat the Bulls there. I know they've been talking this week. We've been with them today, and some of them were talking about missing an opportunity there. They didn't want to use the word revenge, but because they say it sounds bad, but yeah, they did say they missed an opportunity in Durban. I'm sure you're realizing you guys are going to get some sort of backlash there after this.
Yeah, no, definitely. Yeah, just thinking back to the game we played against them here in Durban, geez, what a humdinger that was. And it's honestly a game that we know could have gone either way, you know, especially towards the end there when they got those few opportunities right on our try line. You know, we just had to scramble to try and save the game. So, you know, we very well aware that game could have gone the other way, but we're very happy that we ended up on the right side of the scoreboard. And I think going into this weekend, I mean, they've just come off a brilliant win against the Stormers. You know, they're a side that's really playing well at the moment. They obviously extremely well coached by Jake. So it's always the challenge going up to Loftus. Always a challenge.
Pepsi, you used the word humdinger. Obviously, that Cape Town game was a bit of a humdinger. The fortunes fluctuated wildly in that game. Very much a seesaw one. Were you able to make sense of it? Because it was a bit of a strange game.
It really was. It really was. To be fair, though, to both teams, I think Those North-South derbies have been delivering each and every time. I mean, I'm a Sharks player, but I get excited when those two meet. And I must say, this past weekend again, I really felt like the game delivered. I could almost feel the atmosphere at the DHL Stadium. The fans got really involved. And yeah, it was such, I mean, as you say, it was a bit of a seesaw game. And to be fair to the Stormers, they also could have won it at the end, you know. So it's just a really good game of rugby and obviously lots of SA rugby talent on display.
Is there anything in that game that you noticed and thought, well, that's quite useful, that maybe we can use that next week?
I think preparing for the Bulls, man, you just know that obviously the Bulls' DNA, they base their game around physicality. I mean, if you look at how they started that game, that awesome break from Cameron Honeycomb, I mean, how else would you, I mean, even if you could choose as a coach how you wanted to start a game, that would be it. And, you know, that moment just summed up, you know, the type of rugby the Bulls want to play. Their forwards are very physical up front. They've got amazing backs and outside backs, guys that can really, you know, finish off opportunities. A guy like Vili can create something out of nothing, you know, so they really can be a handful. So it's something that we've been looking at the whole week, and we just want to go out there and really give ourselves the best chance.
You speak about Cameron. Obviously, he's a guy who's on everybody's lips as well, and one of the guys competing with you for a Springbok place, obviously. But you talked about the way they started that game. He tends to be that top player that has got this incredible ability of twisting out of tackles. Now, for a defending player, I was just wondering, I mean, you've obviously taken note of that. You saw in Selehai from the kickoff, he just sort of shrugged off three guys and sort of surged forward. Just how do you defend against a guy like that? Is there something that you do, or is it just in the moment, follow your instinct?
I think it's pretty much straightforward. He's obviously a very good ball carrier and he really uses all his attributes. But I think with a player like that, it's not good enough to just get a good shot on him. You need to make sure you get a good shot and you stick. You know, if you look at most of his tackle breaks, it's the guy gets a good initial shot, but they maybe don't wrap, they don't finish the tackle. And it's in those moments where he will shrug you off, and he's obviously explosive and he's got speed. So that is something that, you know, we've been really working hard on with our defensive coach. He is a player that's really playing well at the moment. And, you know, you have to give credit where credit is due.
Is it better to play a Bulls team that has had the record that they've had? I mean, obviously they've had a fantastic start to this season's UFC, where their tails are up, or is it better to play them when they've had a bit of a stumble? Obviously, they haven't had a stumble in this instance, but, you know, is there a preference?
Interesting question. We've never really thought about it that way. I think, I mean, just not traveling up to Loftus is always a tough trip. You know, whether they've won, I don't know how many games in a row, or whether they've lost, you know, a few games in a row. I think they really take pride in themselves when they play at Loftus. I think the crowd really gets behind them. And I think for us, what makes it even a bit more juicy is, you know, like as you guys mentioned earlier, our last result against them. And to be fair, in the recent games, we've been very successful against them. I remember the two games in the Currie Cup, one just before the semi-final, and then we obviously had them in the semi-final in that 100-minute game. And then obviously again, most recently in the URC. So they'll be looking at those three games and thinking that, geez, we've really let these guys off the hook. So we know that there'll be a bit of a backlash from that, but I guess it's such a good position for us to be, you know. Everyone wants to go up to Loftus and beat the Bulls. If you ever want to beat the Bulls, you want to do it in your own backyard. You want to do it at Loftus, you know, in front of their crowd.
That's part of the Sharks history, isn't it?
Exactly.
You guys have had some epic battles against them. I think of that, you talk about bizarre games, that Currie Cup semi-final, that, I mean, at one stage the Sharks were down to 12. And the Bulls still couldn't get the win. And then at the end there, Jordan, I mean, it was one of those epic games. And there's been a lot of them over the years. This week, though, I mean, I suppose the question, and without giving away too many team secrets, the question is, the Sharks seem to be two different teams at times. There's times where you guys, with all your Springboks, and there's a lot of Springboks in your guys' team, are look almost on par with some of the European giants. But then there seems to be a bit of a fall when a lot of those guys are away, and you guys have a lot of injuries at the moment as well. It's one of those things, I suppose, where a lot of those players, the second string players, and I hate to use the word second string players, but the backup players maybe don't get as much game time, etc. So it's difficult. And you've been one, in those cases, you've been one of the more senior guys, even though you're still fairly young as a player. How has it been to manage that from a team point of view? And just, you know, 1 week you've got Springboks back, the next week you're without all the Springboks.
It's really something that we've had a few conversations about. It's something that we've looked at because, you know, as a squad, we want to get to a point where we're really performing consistently. And you're right. I mean, we know this ourselves. We really know this, that we've had weeks where we're really performing at a level that we can be proud of. And we've also had weeks where we've really seen a massive dip. You know, it's things, I think, sometimes it's not so much the personnel. I think it has a lot to do with our preparation going into the game. Where are we mentally? You know, I think the easiest thing is just to say, oh no, this team had 15 Springboks in it, and then the next weekend they only had 5 Springboks in it. I think that's obviously the easiest difference to point out, but we go deeper than that. We have a look at the week, you know, how did we prepare? What could we have done better? As a 23, where were we mentally? You know, how many conversations did we have about that, you know, going into the game? And that is something that will really take a lot of confidence from. I mean, I look at a game that our last game now against Cardiff, where we went from a disappointing weekend in Bordeaux and we really pulled tight. And yes, people will say, well, we still had a Springbok front row. And that's fair, but I think we will take a lot of confidence from that week because, you know, and I guess it's always easier when you're touring, you know, you basically stuck in a hotel together and there isn't much to do in Cardiff anyway. But, you know, the way that we just pulled together, and it's tours like that that have become so, so useful to the younger players, especially because you get to learn, you know, how a Monday should look like, a Tuesday, a Wednesday, you know, until we get into that game. And, you know, yes, people will say, but that Cardiff team had lost so many players to the wild squad. And that's fair. But to be able to go out and, you know, put on a score like that, you still need to play some good rugby, some decent rugby. And, you know, just an experience like that will be massive for some of the younger guys coming through. And again, this weekend is another opportunity where, as a squad, we want to take steps towards that consistency. We want to eventually, you know, come playoffs, you know, come the business end of the competition, we don't want to be known as that team that is different without your Eben, your C, you know, just to name a few of our box. We really want to get to a place where it doesn't matter which 23 we put out there, you basically know what you're going to be getting from the Sharks. Sorry, that was a bit long-winded, but yeah, I just wanted to give you a bit of background.
Brendan mentioned earlier, I mean, you are still young, but you've been around, you've certainly been part of the Sharks setup for quite a while, and you're probably in a good position to make the, not a judgment on this, but to give us a comparison. The Sharks, before all these Springboks arrived, you know, if you look at that, the team then and what it's like now, what has that done for team dynamic? Does that rub off on all the other players? I mean, are you all sort of, I don't want to say chests out, but I mean, does it give you, does it embolden you a little bit more than that was the case maybe a few years ago?
Dude, I need to be careful how I answer this one, eh? my job. And no, I'm joking. No, listen, and I've said this a few times. It's honestly, it's so good, especially for like us younger guys coming through the system now. I mean, guys that have just finished playing juniors. And it's really so good to have all these Springboks that we have now, because the experience that they have, you just can't get it anywhere else. I almost want to say some of the experience that they come with, you can't get from a coach, you know. And these guys are so good, man. Like all of them, I don't even have to name them individually. They share knowledge. They've obviously seen it time and time again, and they've done it in front of the whole world on the biggest stage, and we've seen them do it. So when they come into our setup, you know, they really come down with that knowledge. They're always sharing, you know, and what it does to you as a young player, besides all the technical stuff, because you can always get better on the technical stuff, but just in terms of the appreciation of the game, you know, reading the room, seeing how the game is flowing, you know, getting better at making those decisions, not only if you're in a leadership position, but just as an individual, you know, realizing where are we, you know, what is the time of the game? Where are we as a team? How are we playing? You know, what's needed from me now in this moment as an individual? I'll say that's where those guys have really been massive for us. And, you know, I just hope all the younger guys, myself included, can just continue learning from them and just absorbing. I think it'll be massive for this union.
Just on that, Pepsi, I mean, you people have referred to you as the next year. And I think at times that's a hell of an unfair thing to do to a player, because obviously Sia, you're a very different personality, I'm sure, than Sia. And the only thing that I suppose is the same is that you play for the same franchise and probably at times in the same jersey. But just your thoughts on that and just being tagged like that?
Jeez, yo, to be fair, honestly, I don't know if I'm even worthy to be called the next Sia. I mean, if you look at firstly, just the type of player he is, you know, I've got a lot of respect for Sia. I'm actually a huge fan of Sia. Believe it or not, you know, just what he's achieved over the years. No, not at all. But I've always been a huge fan of Sia from the days when he was still playing for the Stormers, you know, back in the Super Rugby, you know, Curry Cup, from when he then went on to make his Springbok debut. You know, I've really followed his career and I've honestly been such a big fan. And, you know, sometimes when, you know, I hear someone say that, it'll add a bit of pressure and I just think, geez, I don't know if I'm worthy. But I guess for me as a player, I'm also just trying to write my own story. I feel like I also come with my own little identity as a player. But yeah, like every time I get to share a field with them, share a change room with them, it's really such a special moment. And it's one that I can't wait to tell my kids about one day.
Now, you got a taste of Springbok rugby last year. In that time you spent with the Boks, what was the sort of major takeaways for you in terms of, you know, expectations? I mean, and also the standards that they set. I mean, what did you take away from that time you spent with them?
Oh, the time with the Boks was really special for me. And geez, I really hope I can get another crack at it. I just think just getting to experience the environment, the coaches, preparation going into test match, I think it helped me really see the game in a different way, you know, understand pictures of the game. You know, I think just getting that exposure to Coach Rassi, being able to, you know, listen to him every day, see him every day and, you know, work with the rest of the coaches, you know, coaches like Dwayne Familian, you know, John Davis, Don Newman, guys that have really done well at the highest level. I think as a player, just even in terms of the drills that we were doing while we were in camp and, you know, the thinking behind the drills, when you see how a drill that we do at the beginning of training translates into the training itself and then translates into games, I think for me that was really interesting. And then just the mental prep going into the game was for me probably the biggest takeaway, to be honest. And I know Coach Rassi was really big on that. He was quite hard on that going into test matches. And for me, it was a massive eye-opener. I see the game differently now. I prepared differently going into a game and I really hope I can get another crack at it.
Pepsi, I mean, you're from Shishui, aren't you?
Yes.
Originally. Inside and outside the game. Inside or outside the game, Fog? Obviously the town, obviously.
Just outside. Sometimes when the Lions sneak out, they come into my backyard.
I'm sure that's something you tell some of the opposition players at times.
Yeah, definitely.
But just on a larger scale, I mean, it's just it's not a big place. It's a small town. It's a tourist town at times. And the impact of somebody like you, and I know there's a lot of these stories with the current Springbok squad and a lot of your teammates as well, coming from smaller places like that, just to be able to inspire, you know, people from smaller communities and stuff like that. Just, I know it's a big thing in the Sharks, and I know it's also a big thing for you as well. Maybe just talk a bit about that and how you like to inspire your community back home as well.
Oh, it's awesome, man. Yeah, like I said, as soon as you mentioned Cliffure, I smiled and I told you that I'm very proud of that, you know. Cliffure is obviously a very little town, so it's just always nice, especially when I go back home, because sometimes when you're away, whether you're on tour, you know, and it's just the season is just going on and, you know, I don't get to go home during those times. It's always nice when I do get that little break and, you know, when you at the local spa and, you know, at the local butchery and people just let you know what it means for them to see you, you know, representing them, because I really do. And it's something that I'm always thinking about, that me being here isn't just about me. There's a kid somewhere in Fufue that's, you know, that has started playing the game because they've now seen me play for the Sharks. You know, they saw me get this opportunity and they've seen how much I've just grabbed it with both hands and I've never really looked back, and that has made a difference in their lives, you know. And it's just something for me, it's not something I see as pressure. If anything, it's just a privilege, you know. And I'm so grateful that I get to represent my town, my hometown. And I really hope that there can be many more Sharks players and even Springboks coming out of Sisulu, because I do think there's a lot of hidden talent there. And I know the Sharks, they putting programs in place to make sure that they just tap into that hidden talent, because they really are some special human beings there. And I just love representing them and all the game parks as well. It's really just such a special town.
That's quite inspiring. I mean, that's wonderful to hear. Pepsi, I don't have anything else. I just wanted to thank you for making the time and coming on as our guest. That was an absolute pleasure to have you. I don't know if you've got anything else, Brendan.
No, I'm good. I'm good. Thanks, Pepsi. I think we said 10 to 15 minutes, and I think we've kept you a little bit longer.
No,
I hope that's not
no.
too bad, but really enjoyed it. And good luck for Saturday. I'm sure you're going to get a welcome here in Pretoria, but it should be fun either way.
Yeah, no, thank you. Thank you for having me, guys. I've actually got a question for you guys.
Sure.
Since you guys have interviewed someone from the Bulls and now the Sharks, who are you guys backing for this weekend?
I think rugby, the wheel back rugby is the winner.
That you're not allowed to give that answer.
Yeah, I won't go
I
there. That's the
hesitate to
sneaky
say
answer. I wouldn't do that. What I would do, though, is I want to see the team sheets first. And once I've done that, I'm happy to nail my call. Actually, what?
I
That's
think
not to you because we need to make predictions later on in the show anyway. So
we're not giving predictions.
I'd actually love to hear it.
Okay, I'll go first. Yep, I don't mind. I'll go first.
Good, you go one then.
I think not knowing the team sheets and knowing where the Bulls are at the moment, I think they would have taken a lot of confidence out of that Cape Town win. I think the injuries are going to hit them, because they're losing somebody like Kobus Visser, Elrich, Ruan Nokia, those type of guys is going to, you know, give them a bit of a setback. But they do have a bit of depth. Marco van Staden's back for them this week. I think the Sharks, having not played for a week or so, and there's some talk, and I don't know if Pepsi wants to enlighten us, that some of their Springboks are the ones that aren't injured are on leave, some of them. I would say that it probably would favor the Bulls on this one, being their home ground. But I still think it's going to be a tight contest, probably within 7 points, but I'll give it to the Bulls.
I think if the Sharks have, if that
Thanks for your
rumor is,
honesty, Brendan.
if that rumor is true, then I'm going to favor the Bulls as well. But I think if the Sharks have a decent Springbok contingent, I'll tip them for the win. They'll win by 3 or 4. Because the Sharks actually play with a lot of pluck and mongrel off at Loftus. They won't say bring A game, but they come with an attitude. And I quite like that about them. So I'm going to go Sharks by 4, but that's only if they have a decent complement of Springboks. And that's not the, I'm not trying to slight the other players. I'm just going with the box.
Although I must say on the back of that, they missed a lot of Springboks in Durban when they won. So that's not always a contributing
A new
factor.
gate.
Yeah. The team that handles the
Yeah.
pressure the best.
Okay, Liam, you are my favorite. I'll just say that. Thank you.
You must understand, Brendan lives in Pretoria. He has to be very careful.
Okay, no. Brendan is fine. I completely understand. This is a safety issue more than anything.
Absolutely.
Not that much, but no, listen, I have gone against the Bulls before. I've learned to regret it at times. But so nowadays, it's all good banter, so it's not a problem. I just think the Bulls are in a good space at the moment. So,
no. All right. Thanks for your honesty, guys.
Thank
you. So don't let me keep you. But yeah, hopefully, yeah, I'm definitely saying Sharks for the win on Saturday. That is my prediction.
Yeah. And you're welcome. You're welcome on Saturday. If you see me around Loftus, because you guys are probably staying at the hotel there in the first part, you're welcome to come tell me I'm wrong. So,
take him up on
that. I just call. Sorry, okay, guys.
No, I just said you're welcome to come take me, come tell me I'm wrong if I'm wrong on Saturday. No, I'll be at the game, sir. So.
Just chat after the game. I'll either be very happy or very grumpy.
No, but thanks for the chat, sir. Appreciate it. Good luck.
Anyways, cheers, guys.
Cheers. You too, man.
Cheers.
So yeah, now I suppose we have to do quickly predictions. A big weekend.
So yeah, we've been put on the spot already. So I'm going to stick to my prediction. We don't have the benefit of team sheets yet, but I think if the Sharks have a decent cluster of these Springboks available, I'm actually going to tip them.
Yeah, I think I'm still going to stick with mine. I think it wasn't just because I was trying to have a go at Dempsey there. I think they're really in a situation where the Bulls are in a good spot and they playing at home, it will favor them. I think, though, the Bulls' biggest problem at the moment is that they allow teams to come back at them in the second half. And they almost, I mean, on Saturday, I said to Gavin Rich, we were texting each other, and I said to him, yeah, I've seen this movie before. The Bulls are going to lose this game. Because they're going to let the Stormers come back. And I just had that feeling. And of course, if Clayton Blomicki's got that kick over, they may have lost that game. And they would have lost the game. But yeah, somehow they won. So I think they're full of confidence. And depending on what team the Sharks send, it's going to be an interesting game. But that's not the only game. The other game which we should speak about is the Stormers-Lions game. A big game for both sides. A crossroads for both sides. Because certainly, whoever loses this is going to find it very difficult to still make the top eight, probably.
It will be very difficult. I think the Stormers, despite losing last week, are still in a decent position to make the top eight because if they can win one of their two away derbies on the IFL, they then away, I think, at Ulster. And then there's another game away, I think, in Wales. No, yeah, in Wales. So then they have a home run of four games. So you still expect them to get a decent harvest of points at the tail end of the season. So I think they'll get into the top eight. But they need to start this week. They need to win at Ellis Park. They've got a decent record, a more than decent record against the Lions. In fact, I don't think they've lost to the Lions at Ellis Park in the URC. So they would certainly expect to get four, if not 5 points. In fact, probably 5 points.
Yeah, and that's one of the things the Lions have been talking about. Frankie Horn said in the interview that we had with him today that one of the things they have to start doing is winning these local derbies. Otherwise, they're always going to stay in the same place. So it's a huge game for both teams. And it's going to be very interesting to see what happens there. There's just as much intrigue in both sets of derbies this weekend, even though the earlier derby between the Stormers and the Lions probably has less riding on it from a log point of view, if I can put it that way.
Yeah, and unlike the Lions, the Storms actually have a very good record in derby games. I know they lost last week, but generally speaking, since the inception of ORC, they've been very good in derby matches. They've only lost, I think it's three now, if not three or four, since the inception of the competition.
So then let's have a look at the other fixtures for the week. We've got Zebra traveling to Edinburgh. Now, normally, I would say this is quite an easy win for Edinburgh, but there's obviously international players out. And given that we were totally wrong in our last prediction, Zebra in the last round beat Ulster 15-14, which was probably the biggest shock of that round as well. I would say it's probably a bit closer.
Go, I'm sorry, the dog is barking and I can't hear you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so, there go.
Given that Zebra beat Ulster, I think it's going to be a lot closer than that. Edinburgh, I still would shade to win it, but I'd say Zebra is going to make it a lot more uncomfortable for them than they'd like.
Yeah, I'm going to keep it brief. I think I'll just go Edinburgh. Probably, maybe not in the most convincing way, but yeah, Edinburgh for me.
Then Ospreys going to Leinster. It's hard to see that Ospreys will win that one. Even Leinster's second team, I think, probably got a good chance of winning that one quite comfortably.
Yeah, this is probably one we don't have to develop. So it's Leinster.
Yeah.
Then the two South African derbies on Saturday, the first two games. And then 7:15, Benetton hosting Ulster. Benetton 11th, Ulster 9th. Tough call, this one. But I'd still probably say, being at home, probably Benetton, I'd shade it for them. Both sides are going to be missing internationals. But yeah, maybe at home, Benetton just shading this one.
Yeah, I think Benetton will be the favorites in this one and could even win this by double digits.
It's a big call, that. Munster against Scarlet, same time on Saturday. Munster 7, Scarlet 6th. I can't see Scarlet staying in 6th position on that one.
I think we'll all change that.
Yeah, I think Munster's probably going to win that one. And this will start seeing the Welsh sides drop out of the top 8, the two of them. And so, yeah, a good win for Munster there. I think quite comfortable.
Yeah.
Then there's late night game on Saturday. Connacht hosting Cardiff. Cardiff are 5th, Connacht are 14th. But Connacht had quite a good run in the Challenge Cups.
This is a strange one, actually. This is a very strange one.
Because normally if I look at those two teams, I'd probably say Connacht at home pretty much for the win. But they've had a very strange season. They won games when they've lost games where they should have won, and vice versa. And Cardiff had a very good season, but are without their internationals and, well, Welsh rugby being in a bit of a doldrum. I don't know.
Yeah, for me, I'll go with the home side. Connacht for me. And they could also potentially win this one well.
Yeah, I think so as well. And then Sunday, one game on Sunday, Dragons are 16th. Last team in the competition hosting Glasgow Warriors, the second team. I think Franco Smith's side, even without the internationals, will have too much there and they should claim all 5 points on offer. Probably quite a comfortable win for them as well.
Yeah, I think they'll clip those Dragons' wings. Bit of hot air, but I fear not enough substance.
No fire. Anyway, okay. Well, that's it. That's our show for the week. I hope you've enjoyed it. We'll be back next week. We've got a lot to talk about. We'll be back on Six Nations and the aftermath of all the derbies. And you'll hear if Pepsi caught up with me after the game. We'll see you at the last laugh. Anyway, until then, cheers.
Cheers. Have a good week.
Thanks for listening. For the latest insights and rugby analysis each week, plus new episode alerts, please follow or subscribe to the series. Or find all episodes at jacaranda.fm.com or the Jackpot app.